Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Everywhere we go, people want to know who we are and where we come from. So who are you and where do you come from?
My name is Kate. So I'm from Newbridge in Kildare.
Kate, I came across your page because something happened to you recently. But before we talk about that, just tell me a little bit about yourself. Growing up in Kildare, what was that like?
So I actually originally grew up in Carlow. So I moved to Kildare. I moved to Newbridge when I was about 13. And then I started secondary school up here then. So now I'm kind of just working away, really. I just kind of work every day at this stage. So I don't really kind of get out much anymore, so my hours kind of are quite long, so I don't, you know, and I work in fast food, so weekends are the busiest time, so it's very rare that we get them off. So I work kind of most of my time, really. So the odd night out here and there, but that's kind of it.
And Camille, you moved from Carlow to Kildare, did you, just when you were young, was it?
Yeah, so I was 13 when I moved back. I moved up to Newbridge, so my whole mother's side of the family are up in Newbridge, so we just decided to move back up here then.
Was that tough for you?
It was in a way, because I obviously went to primary school with, you know, I had all my friends in primary school, and everyone in primary school was talking about the secondary school they're going to, and I was going to one up in Kildare, and everyone was like, have a clue. But I had kind of, my mum had a family friend, so we were only, I think there's only 6 months between the two of us, so we went to the same secondary school, so I had her going in, and then her sister is just about 2 years older then as well, so I had the two of them going up, thankfully. But it was hard, kind of not having anybody up here and starting fresh really again.
Yeah. And like, was school fine for you? School was okay?
Yeah, school was fine. I was always kind of very, like, I didn't like, you know, getting lower grades. I was very, like, to stick to it. The last couple of kind of maybe year was a bit tough. I was kind of losing, not necessarily losing interest, but I just, you know, I wanted to do good, but I just couldn't really motivate myself to do it. I stressed myself out a lot for the leaving cert. I didn't really get exactly what I wanted to get, but listen.
Isn't it crap that we do that to ourselves, though, that you stress yourself so bad for an exam that you might even get to what you want to do, you don't even need the exam. Do you know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, exactly. Like, you can get places without it, you know, that kind of way. And I was sick for, like, I was so stressed. I was, like, physically sick for about 2 weeks before it. I just was so run down, like, and tired, because I was just constantly studying, like, and I didn't even use it. 3 years nearly out of school now, I haven't used it, so. But you can get places without it. Like, it's not the most important thing in the world, you know.
And you went then, you straight working, and you love working.
Yeah, so I was where I am now part-time already when I was in school. So I started there at 17, and then I just decided I didn't want to go to college. I thought I was going to just take the year out and go full-time then working. And then I ended up kind of going up in work, so I trained to be a supervisor in there, so I just decided to kind of stick at it. And even now, like, if I try to think of, you know, a college course, I can't really think of one that has any interest to me, so I'm just kind of rolling with it, really. I'm not stressing myself out, you know. If something comes up, it comes up, but if not, I'm just going to keep going, you know, what I'm doing.
And did your mum and dad, were they okay with you not going to college?
Yeah, my mum was very supportive. She wanted me to do good in my leaving cert in case I ever do need it, which I think probably, not, wasn't all the pressure, and I was putting a lot of pressure on myself, but kind of made me think I need to do good just in case. But she always said, listen, college isn't the most important thing. Like, you know, she, is starting her own business now, so she didn't need any of, you know, her stuff. So she always said, you know, it's not the most important thing in the world. Do good in case you need it, but if you don't, you figure it out.
And what business is she doing now?
So she's a money mindset coach. Okay. So she works with female entrepreneurs kind of on, you know, realizing their worth, you know, money wise, charging what they should be charging and just getting yourself into the mindset. I think she's kind of figures a lot of female entrepreneurs undercharge because, you know, they think, you know, us women. But yeah, so she kind of just works with them just to get them into the right mindset and make sure they're charging, you know, what they deserve to be paid. So
you must be real proud of her, are you?
I am. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, no, she's doing brilliant.
Fair play. Yeah. So all your life is, and we've just met Dylan, who is your boyfriend, and he's gone off now down to the garage or whatever he's got off. But so your life really is your job and Dylan.
Pretty much, yeah. Now I do try and see the girls as much as I can, like the few of my friends, but I don't really get to do much. My, as I said, kind of hours are very varying, so I might work from 9 o'clock in the morning till 9 o'clock at night, you know, and that's the day gone. If I'm done 12-hour shift, then I don't want to do much after it, so I don't really, like, I try to go out when I can, but, like, to just even just for a drive with the girls or whatever, but I don't get out much, to be fair, not as much as I'd like to, so most of the time, you know, it's work or Dylan, really.
And I'm going to just stop for 1 second, just give me 1 second, we'll stay on camera, so we'll stay there, don't worry, I just need to stop something. I can hear it in the background, it happens all the time,
honey. Oh. Yeah. No, you're fine.
We'll stay here. So then how I came across your page was that one of the girls shared it and it was a picture. So do you want to tell me what the picture was?
So the picture was, I had been in Nace Hospital. So that was actually just, it wasn't long after I had arrived. It was just of them having taken my bloods. So what happened was, it was not last weekend, the weekend before. And I decided to go out. I went out just myself and meeting up with a few girls. I just met up with them while I was there. There was about three of us. Well, four of us. Three of them, including me. And then I went there about 9:30. And then it was grand. Everything was fine. I had about three drinks. The DJ came on at 11 o'clock. And then that's when I went up to the dance floor then. And come 11:30, I have no memory at all of the night. My memory is gone until 5 o'clock in the morning, the following morning. So it's about 6 hours, like, of my memory completely gone. So most of kind of the night is put together really by what my friends have said, because I have not a lot of memory. But everything seemed okay. I just kind of seemed like I was, you know, just drunk, really, until about 2 o'clock in the morning. And then come 2 o'clock in the morning, I was actually texting Dylan, and it was Dylan that said, you know, I was texting him and he texted me something and I texted him back, and my last message was perfectly fine, and then this next message was completely gibberish. So there wasn't one word in it was completely gibberish. And his cousin was actually out that night that I had been talking to, and he just had texted her and said, something's not up. He just knew himself. He was like, something is not up with Kate. Like, something's not right with Kate. Will you go find her for me?
Where were you? Were you in the pub?
I was in the nightclub. Yeah, okay. I just wasn't with her at the time. Okay. And he just said, will you go find her for me? So it was grand. So she came and found me, and I was actually sitting down at a table by myself. I had went out with met up with a few girls, but I was by myself. I'd obviously just kind of wandered off. Now one of my other friends that was there, I wasn't with her that night, but she just seen me. She said about 2:10, she seen me kind of at the edge of the dance floor, and I was standing there, and I was kind of losing my balance a bit, and my eyes were rolling to the back of my head. And the barman, he was security for the night, but I have seen him behind the bar before, kind of took the drink out of my hand and said, like, no, you've had enough. And that was that. So that was then come about 2:30. That's when Dylan's cousin decided to bring me out then so that we would leave. So they brought me to Dylan's dad's house. So it's only up the road, only about 5 minutes away. So they brought me there, and that was fine then. And Dylan said that, because I just seemed like I was really, really drunk, and I hadn't had that much, but they just figured I was really drunk, because yeah, I think it's kind of, you don't imagine anything worse.
Exactly.
So he said, right, I'm going to go put Kate to bed. So he brought me up and he was putting me to bed. That was grand. And then he left the room and went to the toilet. And for whatever reason, he decided to come back in and check on me. And I was actually in the bed and I was having seizures. So that was about 25 past three, he reckons. So they called the ambulance about 3:45. So they'd been going on for about 20 minutes at that stage. And the ambulance didn't get there until, I think, about 5:30. Yeah, and I was having seizures the whole time. So I was having seizures for about 2-2.5 hours. So I was like, my whole body was rattling, you know, my eyes were rolling to the back of my head. I was hyperventilating, and because I was hyperventilating, I obviously wasn't getting enough oxygen. So I was kind of coming in and out of consciousness. Now, I didn't know any of this was happening, but my memory did come back about 5:00 in the morning. So they were still happening at the time that my memory came back, but I had no control over my body. So I was aware of, you know, who was around me. I was aware, like, Dylan and Dylan's dad and his cousin and all were there. I could hear them speaking, I could hear them trying to, like, calm me down and all that, but I couldn't do anything, I couldn't speak. So I let out kind of a cry here and there and asked for Dylan the odd time, but I couldn't properly form a sentence. So then the ambulance came then, and same thing, I was aware of everything they were saying to me, but I couldn't speak back to them. So they decided they were going to bring me in then. So they brought me into the ambulance, still, and came in the ambulance with me then. They were kind of talking away to him, trying to ask him, like, they obviously asked, had I taken anything, any of that, which I didn't. And they gave me something that I'm not 100% sure what, but they gave me something because my heart rate, I think Dylan said, was like 189 beats per minute. God. So it was like skyrocketing. And they gave me something then to calm me down, stop the fitting. Even when they did give it to me, I could hear them saying something about my left arm. So they gave it to me, my whole body was shaking before it, but my left arm just wouldn't stop for some reason. The whole rest of my body had stopped at that point. My left arm took kind of a little bit longer for some reason. And then I kind of settled after that then. So I was just very drowsy. So they did ask me, was I drowsy? So it's probably expected, I presume, because it's just calming your whole body down. So that was fine. So it was about 5:45 then by the time I got into Nace Hospital. And the minute I got in, so the paramedics obviously started listening off to the doctor, you know, what had happened. And the first thing she said was, like, did I come from a certain nightclub in Newbridge? And they were like, and no, I couldn't answer, sorry. They looked at Dylan and Dylan said, yeah, that's where she was. And then that's when the doctor said that I was the fifth girl brought in that night. Yeah, so there had been 4 other girls brought in that same night, hospitalised, yeah. So that was fine then. They brought me in, took a blood test, took a urine test, and then that was kind of it then. They didn't do much because it was kind of 6:00 in the morning then, I presume. So it was kind of it seemed like the next morning really, but it was just a couple of hours. I think it was about 9:30 then. That's when they woke me, because I fell asleep then and I was conked out from whatever they gave me. So they woke me then. They said that it could be a couple of hours until the doctor comes around. So I was texting Dylan saying, listen, it's going to be a couple of hours. Dylan was in the waiting room. He had waited for me because, you know. But I had texted him to say, listen, it could be a couple of hours. Like, his mom actually works in the hospital, so he drove her car back home. Then he was able to head back. So I said it was going to be a couple of hours, whatever. And then within, I'd say, 10-15 minutes, the doctor ended up being with me after all that. But so the doctor came to me then and she said that my tests were completely clear. But she did the same thing. This is a completely different doctor than was on at the night. And she did the same thing, asked me, did I come from the nightclub that I came from? And had told me that there was 4 other girls brought in then as well. So she reckoned that we were 100%, we were spiked, you know. There was something done, either it was an injection. Now, they did check me for injection marks. But since posting that, I have seen, you know, women talking about their daughters or whatever, people texting me saying that they got, you know, spiked by injection. It was very small, like very small mark, very little bruising. You know, people obviously just try to get away with these things, you know. So it could have been that, but they reckoned it was something was put into my drink. And since sharing it, I've been speaking to, they didn't really do much with me then after, they couldn't really do much more. So I went home then. And then I was talking to one of the other girls that got spiked that same night. And so I had had the 3 drinks and my memory went, and she had only had the 1. So, and she was in Nace Hospital by 1 o'clock in the morning, and she only went out at 11:30. So she reacted like that, whereas it took me a few hours to react. But same thing with her, even though she was there so fast, her tests were clear. But, you know, I've done a lot of research since it. And there's, you know, they even say it online, like there's a lot of things that cannot come up in a common, like in a basic hospital blood test that can be given. You know, people obviously are doing these things or trying to get away with it. They don't want something that's going to come up and then they get caught straight away, you know. But yeah, like there was one of them I remember, and I was saying this is the one I was given, but there was just one of them that was posted that was a common drug used for spiking. And I looked it up, just the drug, just on Google, like the name of the drug. And straight away, like 10, 15 websites to buy it came up for like €7, €10, like barely any price. Like, you know, if you want it in powder form, very easy, you know, that kind of way. Yeah, crazy. So like if you wanted to do this to someone, it's not hard. No. And like it just ruins people's lives. Like I'm so lucky. I know obviously I went through, it was fairly horrific now what I went through, and but I will get over it. But this ruins people's lives. Like I've spoke to people since sharing it. There was a man that he was spiked a few years ago now, but he ended up paralyzed from the drug that they used, paralyzed from the neck down. There was a girl in Carloney a couple of weeks ago. I don't know if you know the Rag Week. So during that, that was only a couple of weeks ago. During that, she got spiked. She had a heart defect. No, she got injected, sorry, but still spiked by injection. And she had a heart defect and went into cardiac arrest. And very lucky to still be here. Like this ruins people's lives. And for it to be that easy to access online is crazy. Like,
oh my God, I wouldn't even think that it would be that easy to get that. That's crazy. Tell me about the night itself and what you remember. Like, first of all, I want you to do that. But first question, like, when you go out, would you be like, oh, because when I go out, I watch my drink. Do you know what I mean? Would you watch your drink when you're out, or were you just like...
Yeah, no, I would be very weary. I think it's something that you hear about a lot, but you don't ever imagine it actually happening to you. But definitely, even so, like I always hold my drink like with my hand covering it, and I always walk around like that. I'm always very careful. I only had 3 drinks before my memory went, you know, that kind of way. So it's not like, not that it would make it okay. But still, it's not that I was really, really drunk and had no awareness of what was around me, and that's how it was like easily done to me. I only had the 3 drinks, so I was still sober, so I would usually be very careful, but that's nearly what makes it scarier, because I'm always careful, and still it ended up happening. And it's just not something you ever really imagine happening to yourself, no matter how much you hear it happening to other people. Like, but I know there's a lot of people that have texted me since I shared my post, and I think that's kind of what made me realize like it's a lot more common than we think. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people, like in my post, I said about, you know, the first thing that people say to you when you tell them is, did you leave your drink down, or were you left by yourself? And in a way, that is, you know, asking whether people realize it or not, you know, it is asking me what I did wrong to get myself, you know, so that I got spiked. And it is, and I don't think people mean it that way necessarily, but that's how it comes across to somebody who's went through this. And the first thing you ask me is, did you leave your drink down? And I'm like, I didn't do anything wrong to do that, like, you know, that kind of way. And even if I did,
that's, again, I talk about learning, because that's not something like that I would ever think of. Like me saying to you, like, it's very similar, and I know it's, but when I say it to someone, like, you know, but not when I say, when people say, oh, but what were you, way were you dressed? You know what I mean? That kind of thing. So with someone who's spiked, I would never have thought that. So thank you for teaching me that.
And that's why I wanted to include that in my post, because I had heard it so much since I had told people, and even people that I would be very close with have done it. And I'm like, there's no way, you know, these are some of my best friends. There's no way they mean it in that way. Yeah. Do you know, so I don't think people realize it coming from somebody who has went through this, that, you know, if that is the first thing that you ask them straight off the bat, that's what I'm thinking is that you're asking me what I did wrong to get myself spiked, type of thing, you know. So I think that was important to put in, so people realized, you know, it is a sensitive subject, like, and I don't think people do realize, you know, how much it affects somebody when it happens.
And then throughout the night, do you remember, like, did you get flashbacks of night of people around you or strangers, anything like that?
No, so I still, like, it's been there about 10 days. I still have zero memory of anything between half of it. Now, I know a typical 20-year-old girl, there was a few kind of pictures and videos on my phone when I woke up the next morning. I think I seen one about 1 o'clock in the morning, and I was just, it was just a, I think it was just a picture of just me and one of the girls. I looked completely fine. And there was another video about 25 to 2, I think it was. And it was me and one of the girls, like, dancing on the dance floor. I looked completely fine. So, you know, I don't have any memory of any of it, but from what I've seen, like, I was perfectly fine. And it just, like that, everything changed.
And are you analysing that? I don't know what to do. I did this last time as well, something in my eye. Are you analysing that? Are you looking in that and going, and looking for someone to blame in that? Like, are you looking for answers in those things?
See, a lot of it was kind of, any of the pictures and videos I seen was more so focused on, you know, the girls and focused on me. So there wasn't really much to see in it. But I know, because I have spoke to the guys, I spoke to them this day last week, and I know kind of they said they were going to go look at the CCTV footage. So I was really hoping, you know, that there was something that was going to be found in that. Even, you know, I highly doubt anything is going to be done because my test came back clear. So there's no proof that I did, even though, you know, the law doesn't work on obviousness. So it's not, you know, they can't really do anything. But even just to kind of have said there's somebody that they thought that, you know, I didn't feel like I was crazy, because I definitely do think as well, a big thing for my story was, had I not been in the hospital that night and known there was four other girls, the type of girl that I am, I probably would have second guessed myself and been like, no, there's no way, you were just too, like, you know, you didn't just get spiked, you know, you must have just been too drunk, or because nothing came up in the tests. But after, you know, the other girls and having done it, the research, which I never would have done had this not happened, I think it is important for people to realize, you know, that something, your test can come back clear, doesn't mean nothing, you know, you weren't given anything.
And it is, like, I don't want to say that you were a lucky one, because some people, like, as you said, that you went through an absolutely horrific experience, but some were, they're doing this for a reason.
Yeah,
they're doing this to get you alone, to do something to you.
Exactly. And that's why I'm so thankful that Dylan asked his cousin to go get me at the time, because when she found me, I was by myself, which means I was beyond vulnerable for whoever did this. Which is scary to even imagine. But you're right, like, people are, they're doing this for a reason, and to have done so many girls in one night, I'm not sure if it's like the person is getting a thrill out of it, or if it's like, you know, if they do how many different people, there's more than likely one of them is going to be alone. Or it's hard to imagine kind of why people do this when, you know, neither of us obviously would ever do anything like this or ever imagine it. But yeah, no, you're completely right. Like, it could have been a lot worse. Like, I am so grateful for Dylan and the people that were around me that got me out of there. Like,
and then did you get in contact with the place that it happened in? Have you had any conversations with them?
I haven't. No. So I was going to contact them. And then when I decided to go to the guards, they said they were going to go get the CCTV footage. So I decided I wasn't going to go directly to them. I was going to leave that side of it to the guards to see what they kind of came back with. And then I was just going to do my side of it. So I was just going to share my posts and raise the awareness. But since kind of posting it, there's been a lot of people. I got one particular girl, she was spiked there back in October. So she shared her story on Facebook as well. And she decided to go back, I think a couple of weeks later, back to the same place. And she was told by the bar manager and one of the owners, I believe it was, that she had to apologize to the two of them for posting the post, for sharing the post, because they gave her a bad reputation, they gave the place a bad reputation, and that she was barred because they couldn't guarantee her safety, which she was right in the way. She said that if they can't guarantee hers, they can't guarantee anyone's. But yeah, so that's the reaction they had. And even the fact that the barman, you know, took the drink out of my hand when my eyes were rolling to the back of my head, you know, it just kind of goes to show they're not, you know, I don't want to say believe in anybody, but they're just telling everybody, you know, that no, it's you, that didn't happen, you know, you were just too drunk. Or they've told from stories, you know, that girls have came to me and said they've told a lot of people, like, no, that didn't happen, you were just too drunk, which, you know, we all know is a big difference between too drunk and those types of reactions like seizures and stuff. Because one of the girls, the girl that I was saying actually that ended up in hospital at 1 o'clock, she had a seizure on the premises, so she was in the bathroom. And same thing was happening. The barman that was down, or the security, they're kind of both in there, that was down in the bathroom, that was called down, was telling her friends, like, no, she doesn't need an ambulance, like, she's just too drunk and all. And they had to, like, fight with them to be like, she needs an ambulance, like, she needs to go to hospital, this isn't drunk. And I don't know now if she actually never said, I don't know if they ended up calling or if her friends did, but she did end up thankfully getting an ambulance. But their reaction has been, you know, terrible. So I don't know if it would even be anyway worth my while going anywhere near them, which is, you know, horrible. Because, you know, I think as a nightclub, like, managers and owners, they have a responsibility to look after the people that are in there, you know, and this is a problem. It's a growing problem. It's happening more and more. And it's a lot more common than I would have ever realized. And I think to turn around to the people that this is happening to, that have went through all of that, and tell them, like, no, you're wrong, this didn't happen to you. And, you know, there's a lot of things that after, you know, maybe I would have never really noticed or paid any heed to it until after this happened. So just things like, you know, drinks on the dance floor, and they don't have a cap on how many people go in. So sometimes you'd be in there and you can't even move, like, the place is packed and stuff like that, that I probably never would have realized before. And only now that it's happened, I'm kind of like, well, that shouldn't be happening. That they aren't, you know, doing everything they can to protect the people that are in there. And I think, you know, as I said, like, as managers and owners, you have a responsibility to look after the people that are walking in those doors. And if something happens on your premises, and you have the responsibility to help those people, then at least just get them to hospital. All they had to do was call an ambulance, you know, they weren't asked to do a lot. So yeah, it's scary, really, because that's just one place. We don't know how many places are acting like that towards people. And it definitely does make people, like, had I known all of that before I shared my post, it probably would have made me a bit more reluctant to share my story and to talk about it. Yeah, I think so. I think had I known that, you know, they were just gonna tell me that, I probably would have been a bit afraid of their reaction to my post. And not that, you know, I care that had they barred me, I don't plan on going back to the place. But I think just I would have been scared of their reaction, because I know the girl that I was speaking to that they barred, she had to delete her Facebook page that she posted it on, because they were, like, watching her like a hawk. So she had to delete it, and they were, like, talking about her in there, because she knew one of the people that worked in there, like, one of the younger people or something. So she was telling her, they were all talking about her and stuff. So she had to delete her Facebook page and start a new one and block everyone that worked in that place that she knew of anyways, so that, you know, none of that would happen. And this was months down the line. She had already deleted the post, and still they were doing this, which is a bit kind of intimidating, you know. Absolutely. For somebody. So I definitely probably would have been more reluctant, but I'm glad I did. 100%, like, the awareness this has brought, and it's blown up mass like nothing that I would have thought. Because of the story that it was, I did think, you know, people are going to share it, people are going to be in shock, because, you know, five people in one night is just crazy. I think that's what the biggest thing that's catching people. But I never would have thought it would have blown up the way it has. But I'm glad it has, because it's the awareness that it needs, because I don't think enough people are talking about it.
And it seems, even with that, like we're saying that you watch your drinks, you stay together, but it's like your pals, the only thing is your pals have to keep an eye on you, on each other. Girls have to look out, and even guys have to look out for each other when they're on. It's disgraceful that you have to, but it doesn't matter, because an injection in it's going to happen. It's going to happen to your drink.
Doesn't matter,
do you know what I mean?
Exactly, yeah. I completely agree, because even, you know, I think the kind of job that my mom is in, she's very, you know, empowering women, and of course, like, we all are, well, most of us anyways. But I think, you know, one of the biggest things we've been speaking about is the fact that it isn't fair, and not just in terms of spiking, there's a lot of, you know, stuff that women have to do that men don't. It's that is the reality. But, you know, not even just women in terms of spiking, you know, I have had contact with a few men that this has happened to as well. But I do think it isn't fair that, you know, we have to watch our drinks and our friends have to watch each other and all of that stuff. I completely agree with that. And that is something that I think everyone should work for change on that. But me as one person is not going to be able to do that, of course. So, you know, if I can get people talking and get people to start in, you know, raising a bit more awareness where these people that are doing it are kind of like, okay, well, you know, this is being recognised now. I'm not getting away with this because, you know, when I spoke to the guards, they said that this has been a growing problem in the one particular nightclub that I went to for a couple of weeks now. So spiking has been around for a long time. So for them to have said it's a growing problem in a couple of weeks just means there's more and more people. So that's what even we were discussing, saying, you know, like, was the fact that there was five of us hospitalised in one night, was that like to get a thrill out of it? You know, was there not enough people every other weekend? Like, it's hard to even comprehend. But that's why we were kind of saying, like, it's if we can talk, get more people talking about it, and just, you know, maybe we can work on not having to do that.
I know, but you know what? The thing is, I think as well, there's always going to be bad people in this world who always find a way. And unfortunately, unless you have crackdown from the venue, which, you know, they have to be a duty care, as I said, responsibility. I just think this world, like, I'm so, so terrified for my girls growing
up. Oh, yeah, of course. You know? 100%. And, like, even, that's why I said, I did actually say a bit in my post. Now, I have two nephews, thankfully, no nieces, so no worries about that. But I have younger cousins, like, girls. Like, I've my cousin just below me is 16, so she's going to start going out soon. And I was thinking of her and, you know, all of us should get to enjoy ourselves just as much as the rest. And, you know, it's as you said, like, covering our drinks, looking after our friends. Unfortunately, that is the world that we live in, that we have to do that. It's not fair and we shouldn't have to. But it is the world that we live in, that we have to look after ourselves. And I think one of the biggest things is looking after your friends, because had I not had the girls there that night, you know, it could have been a lot worse. Even we were only saying, like, had I went home, you know, went in a taxi, I wouldn't have woke my ma coming in. So I would have just went straight to bed. And had I been having those seizures, you know, without anything, like, I wasn't getting enough oxygen, I was hyperventilating, you know, that could have led to a lot bigger problems had that been going on for hours and hours. So I'm thankful for the people that I had around me, 100%. So I think that is the biggest thing, you know, you have to. And that's why I said, I had an interview earlier today, and he was talking about, you know, what would you say to younger people? So I was kind of thinking, like, my cousin.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too.
Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
And that's going to start going out, you know, younger people that are going to start going out and have never experienced it before. And that was my biggest thing is, you know, I could go out and see 4 different groups of girls that I've, you know from different whatever. And I might go over and say hi or whatever, but I think definitely now, you know, I could end up staying with them. And then I'm like, oh, I'm trying to find blah, 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 and here and there. And, you know, whereas I think now I would definitely be like, okay, who I'm going out with, I'll go over and say hi quickly for 5 minutes, get whoever I'm with to stay there. And then I'm going back to them. I'm not, you know, juggling around because it's not just going to be me that's doing that. So that means you're ending up with people you don't know, do you know, the kind of way. And you just never know. As you said, it's a bad world out there. Unfortunately, there's bad people. It's not a bad world, but there's bad people out there. And you just never know who you're around. Like, so I think it's one of the biggest things to just stick with who you're with your friends, the people you know, the people you trust. I mean, it's unfortunate, it's unfair that we have to do it. But if it means keeping yourself safe, you know, that's the most important thing.
And tell me, this is not just something that happens and you're affected until 6 o'clock in the morning, your memory comes back. Tell me what the day following and the day followings was like, days following was like for you.
Yeah, I think that was one of the biggest things, actually, because I was only speaking today as well, saying, you know, I don't think people do realise that this isn't something that, you know, you the next day you're over it and you're like, oh, geez, that was a bit... You know, but you're over it then the next day. This is something that, you know, it's been there about 10 days and still, I think now, obviously, with sharing my posts and how big it's gotten, I have had to discuss it, you know, a bit, which probably makes it play on my mind a bit more. But I know, you know, the first few days, it was all I thought about. There was nothing. Even I was in work, I had to go to work. I had to call in sick the Sunday morning, and I was in work Monday at 4 o'clock to do an 8-hour shift. Like, I had to go in, so even in work, like, you know, I couldn't concentrate. It was all that I could think of for the thereabouts 30-45 minutes that I was aware while all of this happening was like the scariest half hour 45 minutes of my life, and it's all I could think of. I just kept replaying it in my head. And even, you know, Dylan was saying that the first couple of nights after, he, you know, the two of us barely got any sleep, and we stayed together for the first couple of nights after because he was terrified, even though I was at home, but he was, you know, minding me or whatever. So the two of us just barely slept at all. Just he obviously had to see me in that state, and I was replaying the whole thing that happened, and we barely slept. He, you know, he was waking up having nightmares and everything from seeing, because I obviously imagine seeing someone that you know and that you care about is horrible, like seeing them in that state, especially because I'm a healthy 20-year-old girl. I've never dealt with any health conditions or anything like that, so I wouldn't be used to any of that. And I think as well, one of the biggest things was the paranoia. So which I don't think people expect, because I didn't know what I was given. I knew I was given something, but I didn't know what, because my test came back clear. And I think it was about 2 days later, I had a really bad headache for about 2 days. And I remember I just kept thinking to myself, oh my God, am I going to have this forever? Like, I was like, is this going to go on forever? Like, am I going to suffer with headaches now? And I remember I was speaking to one of the girls that happened the same night. And she was sending me a voice note, and she stuttered on her words, and she was like, I can't speak properly since I came out of the hospital. And I was like, I literally only said that to my mom today. Like, I had only said it to her earlier that day, that I was like, and I kind of said it in like a joking kind of, I can't speak properly since I came out of the hospital. And then she said it, and I was like, is this something that's going to go on forever? Am I going to be you know, stumbling on my words? And because I didn't know, you know, what way it would affect like my brain, or you didn't know what way it would affect anything, because I didn't know what I was given. I wasn't given anything, obviously, to counteract it, because the hospital didn't know either. So I just remember I was terrified for days after, you know, would I, and still is, like, it's only been 10 days. It still is scary to think, you know, is something going to come down the line in like a few years or a few weeks? I think especially because, you know, the other girls, or there was actually the boy that was paralyzed, that was a boy, but the girl with the heart defect and stuff. Now, obviously, I know I don't have any health conditions, but, you know, it's scary to know that, like, these things can affect you in different ways. Like, I wouldn't have thought that having been spiked would have affected your heart at all. Like, I think you just don't really think into it properly. So I never would have thought anything like that. So I think I was very paranoid then for the first couple of days, thinking like, you know, what is going to come down the line for me because of this? And I was just thinking, like, I was so, I don't know if it happened to me, but I was so terrified for like my friends, because where, like, I live in Newbridge, obviously it's the only real like nightclub. Like, there's pubs, but it's the only real like nightclub. Mm-hmm. So everyone's gonna go back there, do you know that kind of way? And I was thinking of the girls going back there, and I was terrified. Like, I was like, I'm not gonna be able to sleep next time they go out, worrying about them. And I was terrified for them going. And that's kind of what pushed me to post this story, because I wanted people to know what was going on. I wanted, you know, if you make the choice to go back there, that's completely on you. I'm not going to judge you, you know, obviously, of course. But at least you know all the facts, you know what's happening, you know what's going on when you do decide to go back there. But yeah, no, I think, you know, physically I was sick for a couple of days after. Yeah, I was in work the Monday, I remember, and I was taking it quite easy, but because it was a Monday, there wasn't a lot of staff on. So I had to send one of the girls on her break, so it got a little bit busy, so I was running a bit back and forth. That was fine then. And then once she was back from her break, I kind of stood for a second and I was like, I was coming over funny. Started to get really dizzy. And then one of the lads that was working with me that day said, go sit in the office. Like, to be fair, he was very good. He's a little bit older than me. And he said, go sit down, like, make sure you're okay, take a second. So I was very, very weak. I kept coming over quite funny, quite nauseous for the first couple of days. So I think that passed about on the Wednesday. So happened to me the Saturday night. So it's a couple of days like of feeling just rotten. I remember when I woke up in the hospital, like I was crying and everything. I just felt so horrible. I just wanted to go home. I just, you know, couldn't even process everything that had just happened. And yeah, so physically, yeah, it took the couple of days, but mentally, you know, I've spoke to people that it's been a couple of months and still haven't gone out on a proper night out since, you know, maybe food and a couple of drinks, but it takes a while to get over mentally, and I think a lot of people don't realise the impact it has. I don't think you realise until it happens to you.
Yeah, because I can imagine people saying, oh, she was spiked. He was spiked, so what? Like, if he was spiked, that was it, you know what I mean? The grant.
Yeah.
But actually, you don't realise it. Because I noticed when you came in, you didn't take a drink at me. And then I said, look, I put water down the table just for you.
Yeah.
And now I'm kind of thinking, oh my God, like, is that because...
Yeah.
You just don't trust.
Yeah, and subconsciously it probably is, you know, whether I realise it or not, I'm probably like, no, I'm okay. Whereas, you know, I would have always been quite like that before, when I'm like, oh no, I'm fine. But I think probably subconsciously a little bit more, you know, I would have maybe been like, ah, okay, go on, you know, like maybe after a few asks. But yeah, probably subconsciously I just don't trust anybody. I think it, you know, it's kind of nearly, you would when you think about it, like, you would nearly expect, like, I don't think you would expect it in this type of a setting.
Mm-hmm.
I think on a night out, of course, you'd be like, oh yeah, she's, you know, she's turned off it or whatever, but probably in this, not in this type of setting, but it just goes to show, like, you know, it can affect you, and it's, whether I'm thinking about it or not, it's subconsciously, it's back there, and, you know, it is a thought, and I probably have, you know, my guard is completely up now, definitely.
You're so young for this to happen to you. It's just so sad.
I know. And like, recently now in the last couple of weeks, like, I haven't really been going out much because just the way work has been. But like, before, I was out every weekend. Like, I loved my nights out. Like, I loved, you know, going out with the girls and just having a few drinks and just kind of forgetting about work and all of that and just enjoying myself. Like, I loved it. And that's even, you know, what Dylan said before, like, someone that loved their nights out, and then like that, it just gets taken away. Because I would have loved a night out, and then like only 20 to be thinking, I don't know when I'm ever going to want to go out again. Like, I have had a few texts from people saying it will get better, and I'm trying to trust that it will, and you will want to go out again, but you never know, like, how long it's going to go on for. And, you know, if it goes on, even like last weekend was Paddy's weekend, like, I haven't had, because I'm 20, so, and the lockdown for the 2 years, the lockdown happened just before Paddy's Day, and I was 18. So I haven't had like a Paddy's night out. And I was like, this is, and I was only talking to my mom like a few days before this happened, saying, oh, next weekend I can have my first Paddy's night out and all. And then I didn't get to go because I was just like, and even I remember in Dylan's dad's house, they were having a few drinks, like something funny, you know, very quiet. But he said to me, like, do you want to drink? I was like, no, don't even, no, I don't, it's not even like being on a night out. It's just the idea of even alcohol. I'm like, no, just don't even come near me, which is horrible.
It's terrible. Yeah. What did your mum, like, how was her reaction and how did she find out?
So she could have nearly killed them. She found out the next morning. Dylan had texted her. But to be fair, I did say to her, now I didn't get to the hospital till 6 o'clock because she didn't get a text off Dylan until just after six. And she was like, he should have told me and all this. And I was like, I wasn't in there early. Like, I didn't get in there till 5:45. Like, he did text her straight away. But yeah, she was terrified. Like, she said that she didn't ring me now because she said more than likely she wouldn't get an answer. She, because of all this going on, obviously you can't go into the hospital. So she rang the hospital straight away, seeing how I was, checking in. They said I was fine. I think I was asleep at the time, just waiting on the doctor. So she said, you know, there's not much really she can do. But, you know, typical mammy, once I go home, she was minding me then, and Dylan was minding me. So I got spoiled for the couple of days. But yeah, she was terrified. And, you know, we talk about it most nights because I think it still really hasn't, like, we haven't both properly digested everything completely. We talk about it most evenings, like, and because I spend a lot of time with my mum, like, as well. Like, there's only me and her in the house. So when I come home from work, usually I'm coming home wrecking my mum's head, talking away. So we're talking about work. She's like, okay. But yeah, so we've spoke about it a lot. But, you know, I know even when we've spoke, like, she's said about, she'll be terrified the next time, you know, that I go out. She's gonna be living on her nerves. She probably won't sleep. So I think that's a big thing as well. It affects a lot of people. It doesn't just affect me. Like, it affects, like, my friends are terrified. I'm terrified for my friends. I'm terrified for myself. Dylan is terrified, will be terrified the next time I go out. Say with my mom, she'll be terrified the next time I go out. So it's not just me that this affects. And as I said, like, as horrific as it was, it could have been a lot worse. And I can only imagine then how it affects people if it was any worse.
And it's, do you know, like, nowadays, my husband, actually a few years ago, they asked, he went and he wasn't well, when we brought him to Beaumont, and they said, have you taken something? And he said, no, I haven't taken anything. And they asked me and Paul to leave, or me and his mum to leave, so they could ask him again, had he taken something?
Yeah.
And Paul's mum lost her shit completely. She was like, how dare you? Like, she even wrote a letter to Beaumont and all, saying, like, you know, but, like, do they, thank God it was four other girls. I know, thank God it's a stupid thing to say, but that there was five girls, five of you in total, because it could have been, oh, she's just drunk.
Yeah, which I do think, had it just been me, myself, they probably would have presumed that, you know, especially because by the time I got into the hospital, I was okay. So they had given me whatever I was given. So I was just quite drowsy, but I was okay. So they didn't see any of, and obviously the paramedics go then and they're back on call or whatever. So they didn't see any of that reaction that I had. So they might have just thought, okay, yeah, you know, she was all right. It was just a bit, you know, a bit too much to drink, or she's taken something, because that was a question I was asked a lot, and that was a question Dylan was asked a lot, like, had she taken something? I think he was asked that a few times between the house and the ambulance, and I was asked that the next morning then a few times as well, like, did you take anything? And then when I said no, they were like, did you though? Like, kind of like questioning, double, you know, you're not in trouble if you did. Same with the guards, they were like, did you take anything? I'm not judging if you did. I was like, no, that's totally not me. Like, I would never touch anything like that. Like, I'm such a goody two shoes, but totally not me. But yeah, 100%, that was something that was asked a lot, like, whether or not I took something.
That culture has to change. It has to change. And I get that we have a lot of young people who go out at 16, 17, 18, look older than what they are, getting into those pubs and getting themselves into an awful state, because they can't handle their drink. But I still think, at the same time, you know, we have to stop that kind of culture of well, your fault, you know, you didn't watch your drinking, yeah. You know what I mean? You went off and your friends left you, you know, all this kind of thing. Yeah. And then obviously then as well, like, did you take something? There has to be, some things have to change.
Yeah, it is. It's definitely like as I said, the first thing, you know, being asked, did you leave your drink down? And like that first thing being asked when you go to the hospital is, did you take something? Like you said, that whole mindset that people have of like, you know, if you got spiked, like, you must have done something. Do you know, you must have not looked after your drink. You must have taken something, or like if you didn't drink too much, then you must have taken something. Or do you know, if you did get spiked, then you must have left your drink down. Whereas, you know, I'd only had 3 drinks, and I'm always aware of my drink. So, you know, I didn't. And as you said, like, injections are so like, that's so popular scary. Now. It's scary, but it is. It's trendy, I guess, now. So like, it doesn't matter how much you look after your drink then, or whether you take anything or not. If people go out to do it, people are going to do it, which is why I think there's a responsibility from the place that you're in, definitely. But I think you're right, like, 100% the mindset and the culture that needs to change. Like, I was speaking on the radio yesterday, and you know, that was something that I was kind of asked. I was on 2 radio stations now. Mm-hmm. I've got brilliant opportunities from this, thankfully, to spread the awareness. But one of them was kind of asking, you know, was I drunk? Was it like, was I really drunk? Or, you know, I was kind of saying the venues, you know, they need to do more. And he was kind of saying, well, venues can only do so much. You know, if people are going out to do it, they're going to do it. And I was kind of like, okay. I was like, well, you know, stuff like drinks on the dance floor. I was trying to say this because, you know, this is the stuff that I think obviously needs to get out there. And he kind of like cut across then and was like, oh, well, you know, venues can only do so much. And if you go to the bathroom and if you leave your drink and you do yada, 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 then someone has to be watching the drink at all times. And that's kind of what I'm trying to say, is that shouldn't be, like you said, that shouldn't be the mindset and the culture that is going around now. I got to tell my story and stuff, so I'm 100% thankful for that. But there was just a few little comments that I was kind of like, that's the kind of mindset that you
know. Was he an older man?
Yeah, which is kind of why I knew this is, you know, this is expected nearly, because the first man that I was speaking to, he wasn't, yeah, I don't know what age he was now. He was obviously a little bit older than me now, but he wasn't older. And he was brilliant. Like, he asked me loads of questions. He asked me, do you know, if like the person was listening right now, what would you say? And what, you know, why are you sharing your story? What do you want to come from this? And he was really, like, he was lovely. He was really kind and inviting. And now the second man was lovely too. There was just those few little comments that I was kind of like...
But isn't it mad that I knew he was older?
Yeah,
like, exactly. Do you know what I mean? It's that, like, and then how would he like it, and would he ask his daughter or son the same questions that he's asking you?
Well, that's the thing. Yeah,
you know, maybe I won't say because, yeah, I told you before, I won't say. But as you said, it's really scary. There's nothing, if it's going to happen to you, it's going to happen to you. But I just, like, I don't wonder what these people get out of it, but because we know what the end game is and what they're looking for. But I really like that thing. Like, what would you say to guys? Because it is guys.
Yeah, majority, the vast majority is boys or men doing this. But I think, kind of like I said, you know, the radio presenter even said myself, maybe I can't say on the radio exactly what I would say to them. But, you know, I think my biggest thing was, you know, after hearing those stories of, you know, the girl who went into cardiac arrest and the man that was unfortunately paralyzed, like, they're horrible. And, you know, all because this person went out and decided to just do something so, I don't even know the word, like, just so irrational, and just decided, like, just picked somebody and said, I'm going to do this to them. And no thought into it, obviously, you know, there was probably an end goal, but just decided to just do this for no reason at all. And then these people's lives are affected, like the man that was paralyzed, like, he's affected for the rest of his life. You know, and the people that are going out to do this, they don't know these people. You never know. And like, what happens if you cost somebody their life? Like, what happens then? Do you know, that kind of way. It's just, I think it's scary to think, because I think because you don't imagine it ever happening to yourself, the fact that it did happen to me makes me kind of think, you know, this can happen to, and it can, like, this can happen to anyone. Like, I, as I said, cover my drinks. I was aware I only had 3 drinks. So this can happen at any time. And it's scary to think like that. But, you know, it can happen to at any time, and it can happen to anyone at all. And you mm-hmm. just never know what could happen to people when you decide to do this. And, you know, I don't know, it's kind of hard to even comprehend speaking to these people.
And, like, even now talking to you, I'm like, were they doing it? What is there a group of them doing it for the absolute crack to sit there and maybe video, and, you know what I mean, because there's sick people like that, or was it something more sinister that they wanted to do? But even now I'm like, even if, you know, you went out for a family meal or went out for anything, and my 11-year-old who turns into a 15 or 14 or 13-year-old,
yeah,
and they do it to her, like, it is so. But you know what as well, if that nightclub that we're talking about, or any venue, they can go on their CCTV. They can say, well, hang on, he's walking back and forth around five people. It happened to 5 people in that place.
Yeah.
So that's someone going from group to group to group to group to touching off girl, moving very close to a girl.
Yeah.
You can see that. Exactly. You have CCTV. You can see there's a problem in here and we need to bash it out.
Yeah, exactly. And, like, you know, my Instagram post, the last time I checked, it was on about 12. And I can't check the insights of it because I don't have a business page, so all I can go off is the likes, but it has like 12,000 likes, I think. So it's reached, and not everybody likes everything they see.
Yeah, of course.
So it has reached at least 12,000 people, which means the people, Newbridge is not that big of a town. You know, my auntie lives in Cork. She texts me saying her son's friend was talking about it the other day. It didn't even know, you know, that we were related. So it has reached a lot of people. So there's no way that they don't know about this, that they don't know that there was 5 girls. So I think, kind of like you said, the guards shouldn't have to necessarily be involved in the way that they have to go in and ask for the CCTV footage. We should know, like, that a venue, any venue that we go into, as, like I've said, I don't know if I said it in this or previously, but I've said before, like, that we should be able to contact them and know that they're going to do everything they can to figure this out and to, you know, give us any assurance we need. So, like you said, they can go on the CCTV footage so easily themselves. Absolutely. And have a look. And if it's 5 girls hospitalized, the scary thing to think is that's 5 girls that ended up in the hospital. There could be other girls that just didn't have a bad reaction and went home, went to sleep, or passed out and went to sleep, you know, was brought home. So there's, if it's specifically, if it's only one person, it's very easy for them to have a look at that. And then they can bring it to the guards, or, you know, but we should know that, like, if we go to them and say it, that they will look. Because as you said, it's very easy for them to look at the CCTV footage themselves.
I hope you get to kind of calm down, like, as in everything just you've spoke about what's going on, and then you calm down, and then you're just going to have to be really careful with yourself. You're going to have to completely mind yourself, because this will just drop. You'll hit the ground, and you're just going to have to make sure. And I'm sure you've got the best person with your mum.
Yeah.
Being the woman that she is, that'll make sure that you're completely minded with this.
Yeah.
If there's one takeaway, and I don't mean advice as such, but if it's advice, it's advice with all of this. What's the one takeaway from your experience that you can say now?
I think the biggest thing kind of is how lucky and how grateful I am. Not even necessarily that it wasn't. Obviously, I am grateful and lucky that it wasn't any worse. But think just the people that I have around me. Like, I have surrounded myself, like, even close friends since it's happened. Not necessarily that they weren't out that night, but, you know, just the support they've given me since it happened. You know, I have very good people around me, and I think my biggest thing, knowing that, and, you know, when you think of it, like, to surround yourself with good people, you think, oh yeah, yeah, you know, that kind of way. But I think it just goes to show how important it is to have people around you that, you know, if something bad was to happen, are there for you and are gonna, you know, check in and make sure you're okay. And, you know, like, all of this that's happening with the posts and all, you know, they're always checking in and being like, oh, I'm so proud of you, and, you know, whatever, for sharing it. Like, so I think, yeah, one of the biggest things is definitely who you surround yourself with. And I think I've realised, like, I have a good group of friends there, you know, which is so important in, like, had anything happen, not even just in terms of spiking, if anything happens at all. But I think it's kind of hard to know what takeaway to have from it in terms of spiking, just because, for me, because I only had the 3 drinks, I think that's what probably makes me a bit more scared to go out again. Because I know, you know, I was aware, I didn't lose my awareness, so I can't say, okay, cover your drink next time. I know we spoke about the injection, but, you know, I can't say, do this differently or do that differently, because there's not a point in the time that I can remember where I can pinpoint and go, okay, maybe I could have not done this. Or so it's kind of scary in that. But one of the biggest things is, you know, I'm scared because it's happened, but, you know, it shouldn't stop us from being able to go out and enjoy ourselves too. I think there's a difference between being scared to go out and just being aware when you're out, you know, just being careful when you're out. But yeah, no, it's scary really to think. But
and if you had any advice for anyone who needs to support somebody who has been spiked, like a mom, a boyfriend, like that kind of thing, what would you say to that person?
I think one of the biggest things that I've kind of realised myself is, because obviously this happened to me, and as much as Dylan was there and, you know, my mom is my mom, life goes on for, you know, that's just the reality, you know, and people, because it happened to me, it's replaying in my head a lot and I'm thinking about it a lot, but, you know, their lives are still going and they have their own stuff going on, of course, but I think from them, and now they have been very good, to be fair, the people that I have around me, like, I'm blessed, but you know, just to be aware that this isn't, like we were talking about earlier, this isn't something that is that I'm just going to get over, or anyone else is just going to get over the next day. And, you know, things like, you know, when I've went to my mom being like, oh, I have a really bad headache, like, for the 2 days and all, and she's like, Kate, relax, it's not, you know, it's, you'll be okay, it's just a headache. And things like that. So, you know, they've been very good in that way. But I think just being, like, supportive in the way that if it's, like, months down the line, not being like, oh, that happened 2 months ago, like, what are you, do you know, like, that kind of way, and realising that it does stick with people. And people have different time frames to move on from things. Like, I could be over this in 2 weeks and it could have taken another person 2 years, you know. So you have to just be patient with people, let them process it, let them go through what they need to go through. Because, you know, even like, say, Dylan or my mom or whoever, you know, they don't know what it was like for me. I don't know what it was like for them. So just trying to have that understanding that, you know, I'm still going through it. There could be other things that pop up, you know. As you said, this is all, you know, I've shared this post, eventually it is all going to drop off. And what happens then, like, maybe my mind is so occupied with, like, oh, I have this tomorrow, I'm doing this and this, that maybe, you know, it's going to be 2 weeks down the line before something else pops up that I start to, you know, get upset or paranoid about or whatever. So I think just letting people have their process, you know, and just being supportive, you know, even if you think it's been a few months now, like, or whatever, just letting people take their time, you know, takes people different amounts of time to get over even the exact same thing. So I think just being there for somebody, I think, is the biggest thing, you know, no matter how long it's been.
You've just completely educated me on so much tonight, and so thank you for that. I am so, so sorry that this happened to you. Absolutely horrific. And I wondered, has work around offered you counselling? Has anyone offered you counselling?
No, so I did speak to a woman who had, and actually it was the first time, I never really thought about it, but just a woman texted me a couple of days ago, I think it was, just saying, like, have you spoke to a counsellor or whatever? And I was like, no, I was like, I'm okay. But it's not something I ever kind of thought of. Now, work, they asked me, was I fit to work? It wasn't, like, the doctors didn't give me any notes or anything, but that was about it. But no, I haven't. It's not something I really have thought about. I think, as kind of we were saying there, like, my mind is occupied at the moment. Maybe in, you know, a couple of days or a couple of weeks, when this does drop off, I'll kind of go, okay, this is, you know, this is affecting me more and I need to go speak to somebody. And I think it's perfectly, you know, it's perfectly normal. You know, people, if you need to do that, then that's what you need to do. Mm. And you need to do whatever it takes to get yourself through it, which is why I would never be, you know, against it or be like, no, I'm not doing that, or I'll be fine, I'll figure it out myself. I think just for now, because I shared the post and it has blown up the bit, I think that's probably why it hasn't been something that's on my mind as of yet. It's not something that I thought of, but I definitely do think, you know, if the time was to come where I'm kind of going, okay, this is affecting me more, because even I find myself, and I'm hoping it will pass, maybe it won't, and then maybe I will decide to speak to somebody, but I find even not necessarily going out, but just finding myself very demotivated to even socialize at all, to, you know, go to see any of the girls at all, or even out for an hour or two with them, or I just find myself just wanting to kind of stay at home and just go to bed and just lie there, you know, and just kind of nearly take my mind off things, you know, just kind of get away for a little while. So I'll put something on the telly or flick through my phone, something that I'm not going to be thinking. So maybe that's something that will come down the line, that I will decide, you know.
And that's okay, like, you can do that, just don't stay there.
Yeah, of course. And that's why I do think, you know, if it was something that was to go on for a little bit longer, you know, I'm letting myself kind of go through what I need to go through, process it how I need to process it. But, you know, I do think I have that awareness that, you know, I will be able to say, okay, this is going on for too long, I do need to speak to somebody, you know. And I think that's, as you said, it's perfectly okay. Like, if you need to speak to somebody, then, you know, you need to. It's perfectly fine to do that. So.
And the outpouring you got like so many people, like, I've seen so many people commenting and saying, like, that absolutely horrific and so sorry that this happened to you. But I just want to say to you, just like, as I said, to, you know, just mind yourself. You're going to need minding, and just make sure that you do mind yourself. And thank you so much for coming down.
Thank you for having me.
And talking to me. But yeah, thanks again. And again, I'm so sorry.
Thank you very much for having me anyways and giving me the opportunity, because I do think, you know, it's important. It needs to be spoken about. And thank you for allowing me to.
Thank you.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.